The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Over the line, Orr throws it. He's in. A backhander and a save by Tony Esposito.
Stan Mikita was a small guy, very cocky in those days.
A right hand by Magnuson, and he puts Van Dyke down.
Magnuson trying to tear his hair out.
NBC Chicago's James Neveau.
Murphy picked out of midair to Amani. Set him up, Roenick.
.670 The Score's hockey guy, Jay Zawoski.
Belmore! Hawks win again! Chris Chelios in overtime!
Part of Blue Wire Podcasts.
Came off the boards, he shoots, he's going! Down to the teens! A game-winning goal! The Hawks live to fight another day!
Falling back, Sobel drives, gets it from Scott!
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Chicago's going to be in last place forever.
Clear to center for Taves, he got a breakaway!
To you by Triple Threat Sports, Fry the Coop, and by the Since In-Law Group. Let's drop the puck.
Welcome in, one and all. This is the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. My name is James Neveau from NBC5, and with me, as always, is the one, the only Jay Zawoski of 670 The Score and the I'm Pat Podcast. Jay, we just spoke a few days ago about some of the wheeling and dealing the Blackhawks were doing. Guess what, buddy? Free agency starts on Wednesday, so we're going to have plenty more to talk about.
Cannot wait. You know my favorite day of the year is free agency day. My second favorite day of the year is the trade deadline day. I love transactions. I love chaos. And this year, it seems like a lot's going on, man. Like, there's a ton of rumors. There's huge names on the market like Jack Eichel. Gabriel Landeskog might be headed to free agency. There are so many huge names, and the Blackhawks have made a lot of news. Oh, yeah, they traded for Seth Jones last week, but it feels like an entire news cycle has gone by since then. It has been crazy, and it's only going to get crazier. Thanks for joining us here on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Madhouse Pod. We're on Instagram at Madhouse_Pod. We're on Facebook. Just look us up. Check out our TeePublic shop. The link is in our social media bios. Make sure you use that link when you buy. I bought the Team USA NES ice hockey shirt, and it arrived today, and it looks awesome. I put a couple new designs up there last night. One is the graphic of the bleeding head NHL player, but it's a Red Wing, and it says Detroit sucks. And then there's also NHL 94 design with the Blackhawks player on it with CHI underneath. And then if you've ever seen the movie Almost Famous, The character that played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, Lester Bangs, who's a real person, has a shirt that says Detroit sucks. So I made that too. Just trying to move some product here. And a lot of you guys have jumped on and bought it. And of course, anything with our logo is on there as well. So check it out. Check out our TeePublic shop. Lots of great stuff. And I want to give one quick plug too. I started writing a Substack blog. It's jayzawoski.substack.com. Lots of stuff on the Hawks. I'm going to do a lot more other stuff on there as well. But if you want to check that out, please do. It is a subscription, so if you want to get in on it, it's $5 a month. But the one I wrote today is free, so you can check that out and see what it has to offer. I'll be writing 2-3 times a week, so check that out too. All right, so much to get to today, James. We've got the Blackhawks qualifying offers. We've got a surprise player that was not qualified. We've got Nicholas Hjalmarsson retiring. We've got the Blackhawks drafting Kirby Dach's brother. Where would you like to start? The floor is yours, Captain Neveau.
I do believe we need to start with the qualifying offers because I think that it's going to kind of inform a lot of the decisions the Blackhawks are going to be getting set to make here in the offseason. There were a few surprises, to be honest, on that list. I didn't think that the Blackhawks were going to pick up the qualifying offer for a Josh Dickinson. I ended up being correct in that analysis. They also did not qualify David Kampf. They did not qualify Adam Gaudette, and they did not qualify one Pius Suter. So a couple of interesting names there, especially Kampf, who they protected in the expansion draft, and then Pius Suter, who had 15 goals last season. Adam Gaudette immediately signed to a new contract, so not a big deal with him. But, yeah, Suter and Kampf, not qualified by the Blackhawks, could become unrestricted free agents on Wednesday.
I did not see those coming. I really didn't, especially since I know how much the Blackhawks love David Kampf. Scott Powers wrote later today that there's a possibility that deal could be renewed. and they do love him. But I talked about the Suter thing earlier today on Twitter when I talked to a source who sort of said, you know, Suter's asking for a lot of money, and it's probably more than the Hawks are comfortable spending. And I thought, wait a minute, this guy is a really good rookie, put up good numbers, was really an important part of things last year. But then you take a look at the Blackhawks forwards and who they have under contract, and there are not a lot of spots. I'm just going to rattle off here the 12 under contract that I you know, kind of slotted in lines based on just whatever random guess I did. DeBrincat, Taves, Kane, Kubalik, Doc, Kurashev, Hagel, Strome, Connolly, Borgstrom, Gaudette, Nylander. So there's 12. You also have Mike Hardman, Mackenzie Entwistle, Lucas Reichel, who a lot of people think is going to contend for a spot this year, Evan Barrett, who's knocking on the door, and you still got unsigned Vinny Hinostroza, who knows if he'll be back. You've got David Kampf, who could come back. There's just not a lot of roster spots, and the Hawks are really heavy in that middle six. And I think they might be better off using Pia Suter money to improve the team elsewhere, and I think that might be what exactly what they're thinking.
Yeah, and I mean, he showed some really good positional versatility last year. I think that the Blackhawks probably would prefer him to end up being a center just to kind of help out. But like you said, they are kind of flush with those types of guys who can be that second or third line center, right? That's not exactly an area of weakness, especially with Dylan Strome still on the roster. Who knows if he will be on opening night? I'm sure we can talk about that a little bit as well. But if Suter's really looking for some big payday, the Blackhawks have a lot of leverage, to be completely honest. They don't have to bring him back, quite obviously. They've got a ton of guys already in the system, so if he really wants to be in Chicago, he's probably going to have to lessen whatever contract demands he's making. I obviously don't know how much money exactly he is going to want, but when you look at guys like Jonathan Taves, you look at Henrik Borgstrom, you look at Dylan Strome, they have a lot, Adam Gaudette, they have a lot of guys up the middle that can fill that role and probably score 15 to 20 goals, which is probably realistically what you're expecting out of Pia Suter, I would imagine.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. How much could he be asking for, right? Because you take a look at what they paid Dominic Kubalik, who scored, 30 goals his rookie year and got the contract after that for $3.7 million. 2 years, $3.7 million. I've really enjoyed the website Evolving Hockey. And if you're not a subscriber to evolvinghockey.com, you really should be, because it's just an excellent resource. They have a contract predictor on there. So you plug in the player and you hit submit, and then it tells you what they think their next contract is going to be. And it's in like the $4 millions for Pia Suter. And if that's true, if that's what he projects to be, I don't think they can afford to pay him that. You're getting 3.7 for Kubalik. You can't pay him more than you pay Kubalik. Pia Suter is not a 30-goal guy, and a lot of his production came from playing with Kane and playing with DeBrincat. And look, I don't want to minimize Pia Suter. I really like him as a player, but did you see enough in one season? And remember, he's 25 years old. He's not 19. He's not 20. This is pretty much what Pia Suter is going to be. Have you seen enough from him to give him $4 million? I sure haven't.
Absolutely not. There is absolutely no way. And I think that if that was the actual ask, if it was for Dominic Kubalik money, I think the Blackhawks would have qualified Pia Suter. I think that they would have a pretty strong case in arbitration that they wouldn't have to worry about getting blown out of the water. If he had gotten his qualifying offer, it would have been probably worth a little north of $1 million. The Blackhawks, I think, would have been in a pretty advantageous position in terms of the arbitration. I think they would have ended up potentially settling with him, but just with the sheer number of options that they have available to them at the center spot right now, especially after the acquisition last year of Borgstrom, obviously having Strome potentially in the mix, Adam Gaudette, same thing, just re-signed him to a contract. Mm-hmm. I think there's a bunch of different guys on the roster that can probably fill that Suter role. I think that he's got a decent amount of upside to maybe bump up that goal scoring a little bit. But I think at the end of the day, like you said, the key is he's 25 years old. We kind of know what we're getting out of him, and he isn't the player that Dominic Kubalik is.
No, and I want to be clear. I really like Pia Suter, and for the right money, I'd happily take him back, and the Hawks would be better with him. But they just can't break the bank on him because he's just not that kind of player. He's not a break the bank kind of player. And I would say, look, with if we're talking about Kubalik in the same situation like we did going into last season, that was a guy who showed you 30 goals, and a lot of those he created on his own. They were on a cert. You know what I mean? Like, he showed you that he could do it on his own. And 30 is a lot different from what Pia Suter did. So, yeah, 3.5 is maybe about as high as I would go with Suter. And look, maybe he goes test the market and finds out, like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to get what I thought. I'd rather just stay in Chicago. They're the team that signed me. They're the team that gave me a chance. So I'm going to give them the opportunity to, you know, match or maybe beat this deal I have pending. I can't see anybody giving him $4 million. I just can't see
Absolutely not. No, I think he'll end up what's going to end up happening is he'll sign somewhere for like $2.5 million or something like that, and then he'll get off to a hot start, and Blackhawk fans will get super pissed off just like they always do.
What?
Call Stan Bowman a clown, yada, yada. It's going to happen. Like it, and not to say that, you know, they'd be wrong, but that's just, it's so predictable that that would end up happening, that he would go somewhere else and show some flashes and everyone would freak out, when the reality is he's essentially the same player as a lot of different guys that they have in the system right now, and they clearly are making their choice. They're making their choice with Gaudette. They've made their choices with other guys, and I think that they have a good number of options they can slide into that spot. I did, before we get over to the guys that did get qualifying offers, by the way, sorry, Josh Dickinson, that I'm not gonna, I didn't even realize you were here. You're still here? Bye. He was literally what? Like he was expansion draft protection, right? Wasn't that like what he was? I think he was one of their exposed players.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was one of the 13. But anyway,
probably
my prediction, Suter walks, gets like $2.5 million somewhere. I think David Kampf ends up working out a deal to stay here. I think that the Blackhawks just didn't want to give him a qualifying offer. They didn't feel comfortable with him signing, because I think that probably would have ended up happening. So I just think they're probably looking to maximize a little bit of cap space there. You agree with those two thoughts?
I do. I really do. I don't know. Scott Powers' piece said that Kampf's people are going to look at what Marcus Kruger got paid, see $3 million and say, well, if he got it, why can't we? One mistake does not mean two mistakes should happen. And hopefully Stan Bowman doesn't go, you know what? You're right. Here's $3 million. Now, we're talking $1.5 million, $2 million for David Kampf max. Otherwise, go find a free agent that can kill some penalties. Because I know a lot of people are like, what does David Kampf do well? He's good defensively. But that's about it. That's really all he has to offer.
Well, I mean, that's all Marcus Kruger was good at.
I felt like Kruger had a little more offensive upside than he was allowed to show. I just feel like there's none from David Kampf. Like, offense is just not a thing with him.
Problem with being such a good penalty killer is you end up getting kind of shoved into that role. But hey, he was really good at it.
Yeah,
he was. It got him paid. So
no doubt, he was excellent at it, and it did get him paid. I can't give a guy like that much money. These are the things where, you know, when I nitpick Stan Bowman, it's those extra $1 million. It's the no movement clauses. It's the extra year. Like, those are the sort of things. Those little, like, you know, call it like death by a million cuts. Those tiny little extras here and there, those are the things that end up costing you a player you really, really like in the future. And, you know, that, like, Panarin is a good example. Had he not given a bunch of other guys that extra million, right? Like, look at the way Boston did it. Look at the way Pittsburgh did it. All their star players got probably like a little bit less than market value. And because of that, they got to bring in other players and stay competitive while the Hawks fell off. Those little,
you mean like they got to bring in guys like Taylor Hall?
Right. And look, Taylor Hall signed for, what did he sign for? It was like less than six, right?
It was right around six, but that's what a lot of the Bruins players, I think, are signing for. I can obviously look that up.
I got
up.
It right here.
The Bruins.
Here, look, Patrice Bergeron makes 6.875. David Pastrnak makes 6.66. Brad Marchand makes 6.1. Taylor Hall makes six on the nose, and that's a brand new contract. This is how you
and
keep
then
your
Charlie
team
Coyle makes $5.25 million. Like, they didn't overpay really any of those guys. And their highest paid defenseman right now is Charlie McAvoy, and he doesn't even make $5 million.
They don't have a single player over $7 million. Not a single player. And they're one of the best teams in hockey. The Hawks have three with Seth Jones now. three players over mm-hmm. $7 million, and you got DeBrincat making 6.4.
I do want to point out one thing. You can make the argument, oh, they're always competitive, but they've only won one cup. The Blackhawks have won two. Case closed, you know? I'm just going to go ahead and I'll leave it there. Why not? Bruins fans, come at me.
Well, the opportunity to win more is nice, too, though.
Absolutely fair. Not, you know, I'm being slight. I'm being facetious, of course. But, yeah, that was kind of the thought that I had, though, is it is nice to continue to have those shots at the prize, even though they haven't come through. I just wanted to tease them a little bit and say that the Blackhawks have won a couple, including one at Boston's expense, let's not forget.
I remember that. That was awesome. Okay.
Oh, and also, we do have to hate on them because they did let the St. Louis Blues win a cup.
Yeah. I'll never forgive them for that. All right, so
you're on notice, spoked wheel.
The guys that did get qualified, Alex Nylander, not a surprise, not arbitration eligible. He missed last season, so it's not going to cost him too much to bring him back. Brandon Hagel, same deal, not arbitration eligible and won't be eligible until after next season either. So they just got to sort of see how that goes there with those negotiations. And Nikita Zadorov, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, he got a qualifying offer as well. That is kind of the hardest thing to figure out. The Hawks left him exposed. I guess, according to Scott Powers, the Kraken were sort of sniffing around, but ended up not doing anything with him, either drafting him in the expansion draft or trading for him or whatever. Just because he hasn't been traded yet doesn't mean he won't be. But they went and qualified him. And from the rumors we heard when the offseason began, Zadorov was looking for money in what, like the $5 million something range. He's come back to earth. He's asking for $4 million. The Hawks have offered 3.2. So if they can meet somewhere in the middle, 3.5, 3.6, I think I can live with that. Went on Twitter today on Evolving Hockey, looked up Zadorov's defensive numbers. Defensively, his numbers are pretty strong. Offensively, bad. He's not an offensive player at all. But you'll take a 4, 5, or 6 defenseman for $3.5 million and be pretty satisfied with that. I think they could do a hell of a lot worse than Zadorov in that spot.
Well, the issue then, I think, is if you do end up bringing back Nikita Zadorov, I think there is zero question that you have to get rid of Calvin DeHaan, because I don't think that you can justify having Seth Jones, Calvin DeHaan, Connor Murphy, and Nikita Zadorov taking up playing time and then have to split the rest between guys like Riley Stillman and Ian Mitchell and Wyatt Kalnuk. And obviously they want to see what they've got in Caleb Jones. Alec Regula still needs to get some time. Nicholas Beaudin, same thing. I mean, the Blackhawks have guys that they're going to need to kind of get cycled into the lineup. I don't see them carrying all four of those veterans, and I think by far the most obvious guy that they would let go is Calvin DeHaan. And I still agree with you. I don't think that this necessarily rules out them trading Zadorov, especially if he's intractable in his contract demands. But I think that if they do end up bringing Zadorov back, I think it pretty much signs the death warrant for Calvin DeHaan, and he's out of here.
Well, that would be ideal, because I really like Calvin DeHaan. I think he's more valuable than people realize, but he makes $4.5 million and he's incredibly injury prone. So that's tough. And like Stan Bowman said, though, like, these things have a way of working themselves out. Like, it's very rare that everyone's healthy. Let me ask you this, though, and I don't know the answer to this question. Okay, this is just, I'm honestly asking. We have seen the Hawks rush some young defensemen, maybe to their detriment recently. Adam Boqvist, Henry Jokiharju. Maybe you could say the same thing for Ian Mitchell. Having a more veteran defense, like you mentioned, Seth Jones, Calvin DeHaan, Connor Murphy, you know, if Zadorov is indeed back, Caleb Jones. Jones is 24, but he's got 100 NHL games under his belt, right? Riley Stillman. Right. Are the Hawks, should they maybe consider letting some of these younger guys like Mitchell, like Kalnick, like Regula, up and down the line, even Beaudin, let them play in Rockford a little bit, let them get their legs under them, and let them truly be ready to come and play in the NHL? And look, I'm comfortable with most of those guys coming up and playing right away. And I'm still on board for the air quotes youth movement here. I really am. But there is something to be said for letting these young defensemen spend some time having success and then come up when they're ready, instead of just throwing them to the wolves. And look, aside from wanting to make a giant move that you'd have to get rid of Calvin DeHaan, why not hang on to him? And if you can get to the trade deadline with him and move him for a pick, fine, right? I don't know. I truly don't know the answer. Is it better to let these kids, these young defensemen, come up here and struggle and deal with the ebbs and flows of the season? Or should they let them develop in Rockford a little bit, hold on to these veterans, and then if these kids prove they're ready, then you start moving these veterans out a little bit?
Yeah, I think you can make that argument pretty conclusively for a guy like Regula and probably for Nicholas Beaudin as well. I mean, don't forget, Beaudin was a late first-round pick. It's not like he was a lottery pick that the Blackhawks really felt like they needed to get a really close look at when he was up here. Obviously, he has gotten a little bit of NHL time, but I could see them potentially handling him in that way, and I really think they could end up playing him in a first or second spot on the defense in Rockford for just to really kind of see what he's got in all areas of the game. I think that would be a really smart idea. I kind of run into a little bit of an issue with that with a guy like Riley Stillman, who you just gave a 3-year contract to. I think that he'll end up getting some time, and he'll get time in the NHL. I don't see him doing the Rockford thing. And then I really honestly and truly think that Wyatt Kalynuk needs to be playing at the NHL level. I think that he is a guy, he's 24 years old. I think that it's just because of his maturity and the way that he played last season, I would rather see him developing at the NHL level, if at all possible. Pretty much all the other guys, and that even includes Ian Mitchell, I'm kind of okay with, but I think Kalynuk is kind of where I'm going to draw the line on it.
So that was the next question I was going to ask you, is which young guy are you most comfortable with in a full-time role to start the season? So Kalynuk is your guy. Are we including,
I think so, yeah.
Are we including Riley Stillman in that list or no? Or do you consider him a regular?
I mean, use whatever criteria you want, man. I just think with the 3-year contract that they gave him, I know a lot of folks kind of thought that it might have just been an expansion draft ploy, but then they protected him in the expansion draft. So clearly the Blackhawks have a pretty high opinion of Riley Stillman, and I liked what I saw from him last year too.
If you want to
include that, but I think Kalynuk could probably be the young guy, quote unquote, that I think I'd probably feel most comfortable with. And, you know, I need to see more out of guys like Ian Mitchell before I can potentially put them on that list.
Yeah. And I think we saw Mitchell as the season went on really sort of flounder and then got to the point where he didn't even play him because he was struggling so well and he battled some injuries too. I think I agree with you. If we're counting Stillman as a guy you're going to pencil in the lineup every day, and he's paid accordingly, he's your fourth highest paid defenseman, I think that Kalynuk is the one I trust the most too. And that's the one, and maybe I don't think he's got, I don't think he doesn't have the highest ceiling of those guys, but I think right now he's the guy I trust the most to be out there, you know, defending in games that are, you know, games are meaningful in the start of the season. We won't know how late the Hawks will fall off, but like Jeremy Calhoun always does, his teams will fall off. Real quick, I want to tell you about our friends at Fry the Coop and frythecoop.com, the best Nashville hot chicken in town, probably in the country, probably in the world. There, I said it. Oaklawn, Elmhurst, Westtown, Prospect Heights, and Tinley Park. Go to frythecoop.com, peruse their menu, place your order online, or go dine in. They've got a great craft beer selection there as well, but you get the chicken tenders, the honey butter chicken sandwich, the donut chicken sandwich, the chicken and waffles, everything there is fantastic. Go get your hot chicken at Fry the Coop. Visit frythecoop.com. You will love it. That is a Madhouse podcast guarantee. So as we're talking about money and where some relief could come from, I saw Tab Bamford on Twitter today mention the buyout situation with Brett Connolly. If they bought him out, they would save $2.33333 million on the cap for the next 2 years, but they would incur a $1,116,667 cap penalty for the next 4 years. So there's a immediate benefit, but then there's a little bit of a risk. For the record, Connolly is under contract for this season and next at $3.5 million. Look, it's a guy, a veteran that can play a little bit, but when we mention the logjam at forward, to me, this is the guy who's kind of like, can we just get him out of here and figure something out? Like, you know what I mean? Like, can we just try to find a spot for a kid in that spot? I'd much rather pay Vinny Hinostroza to come back or David Camp for somebody. I don't really need to see Brett Connolly out there.
I kind of look at him as a guy like Carl Soderberg, who when the Blackhawks signed him, everybody was kind of like, what are you doing right now? Like, that's not the direction we're really supposed to be going in. And then the Blackhawks obviously flipped him for a prospect. Didn't they flip him for Josh Dickinson? Not to come back to that, but isn't that who they flipped him for?
Soderberg, maybe. That's a good question. I forget who it was. I'm going to look him up here on Cap Friendly.
That is absolutely correct. He got flipped to the Avalanche for Josh Dickinson and Ryder Rolston.
Oh, who could forget?
Boom.
What a trade.
How about... Well, apparently you did. I win. Nice. But anyway, point being that he kind of is that Soderberg role with just a slightly bigger price tag. I see so many guys on this team right now that are so freaking young. I mean, think about it. How many forwards on the Blackhawks roster realistically for next season, how many of them are going to be 30 years old or older?
Forwards?
Yeah.
Taves, Kane.
Yep.
Is Carpenter is just 30, right?
Just turned 30, yes. Yeah. So that is it. That is all of the 30-year-old forwards that the Blackhawks have.
Connolly's 29.
So, yeah.
He'll be 30 in May. Connolly will be 30 in May.
Okay, so he's close, though. That's the point, though. They have a lot of guys who are, you know, 22, 23, 24, 25. All of these guys are so freaking young. Would it maybe make sense, since you have a little bit of cap space to kind of play with this season, since Seth Jones is only making $5.4 million this season, and all of your defensemen are pretty much cheap except for DeHaan and Murphy, obviously. Wouldn't it make a little bit of sense to use that extra bit of cap space to keep a guy like Connolly around to kind of work with some of these younger guys? That's kind of what I'm feeling right now.
It can't hurt. I don't know much about him in terms of like his personality, like what kind of an influence he is. And look, we probably overvalue that stuff. You know, we've heard a lot about leadership, and some really bad crap has happened under the greatest leadership in the history of hockey. So, you know, I think we
Still only $3.5 million. I think that's kind of what I end up coming down on. And besides, you keep him around for this season. Then next season, if you buy him out, the cap penalty is obviously going to be significantly lower. I could see him maybe playing like kind of a Zach Smith, Carl Soderberg role on the Blackhawks this coming season. I'm not in the camp of immediately getting rid of him to kind of bring up another young guy. And besides, there's guys like Lucas Reichel. We don't really know how much he's going to play in the NHL, if at all. We have no idea what we're going to get out of Henrik Borgstrom. He may end up starting the season somewhere else. I mean, Mackenzie Entwistle, sure, will be competing for a roster spot. Evan Barrett probably will be too. I mean, that isn't exactly a lot of guys who I think are guaranteed to be better than Connolly game one. So I think, I don't know, I kind of keep him around. I don't know if I would necessarily go the buyout route with him.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. 4 years with that cap penalty, and it's only a million and change, but you don't want to deal with that. I think that's a good point. We've got a lot of question marks in Reichel, in Borgstrom, and they can sort of, like I said earlier, Stan Bowman says these things have a way of working themselves out. If you're not completely cap-strapped, which I don't think you're going to be, then, yeah, just see what happens. And, look, that's another guy who, at the deadline, if he has a decent season, and, look, looking at the lines, he could be in a top-six role, you know?
Sure. Who else is going to be there?
Right, and even your third line, if you've got Strome and Hagel, that's a really good third line. That's a third line with some scoring punch. So you can put him on there too. And what we do know that Colleton, just like Joel Quenneville before him, likes to sort of spread the offense around. So you might see a first line with like DeBrincat, Taves, and Connolly, a second line with Doc, Kubalik, and Kane, right? Like they kind of move stuff around that way. So there's a lot of possibilities. I think, you know, free agency's Wednesday, and I think we're going to have a much clearer picture. I think they're going to be active. One name I think Hawks fans should keep an eye on is former Buffalo defenseman Jake McCabe. I've been told the Hawks have their eye on him. Just sort of a solid defensive type dude. I like his game a lot. Don't know what that would cost. The projection on evolving hockey Let me check it out real quick. I thought I saw it earlier, but it was only like a million something. Yeah, like 1.027 million. I think it's going to be a little bit more than that because anytime a guy tests the market, there you do get a little bit of a bidding war with the player. But, I mean, that's a very affordable guy whose game I like a lot and I think could be a pretty good fit, for, especially considering what they're trying to do here. So, I don't know. I think there's going to be some moves. I think you're going to add a goalie. I think you're going to add another defenseman. And again, if they add another defenseman, what does that mean for Zadorov? I just think there's so much more to go in the construction of this roster that we're going to look back on this podcast in a month and be like, yeah, we could just scrap that whole thing because everything is completely different than what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I think the Blackhawks are probably going to have to do a little bit of work in addressing some of the deficiencies they have in terms of their right side of their defense. I know they're very lefty heavy. I know that that's kind of where they obviously are going to play Riley Stillman. Calvin DeHaan usually plays on the left side, if memory serves. I mean, they do have Seth Jones and Connor Murphy on the right side. But beyond that, I'm not exactly sure what they're going to do. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to see how this roster takes shape. Like we've been saying all offseason, it's going to be busy. And this team on opening day is not going to resemble what it looks like right now. There's no chance. All right, why don't we do this? I think we did a pretty good job covering the QOs and everything else leading up to it. Let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will pay tribute to one of the best Blackhawks in the modern recent era of hockey. I think you know who we're talking about. We'll get to it next on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Hey, if you love listening to us here on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, what's stopping you from grabbing a mic and starting your own show? There's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your shows pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listen to us talk about your favorite team, then make your voice heard in Hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join. Welcome back into the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. This is Jay Zawoski. I'm here in Homewood, Illinois. James Naveau, new homeowner out there in Kankakee. His address is, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want James to get murdered.
I mean, you probably can find it on Google. Isn't that how that kind of works?
I don't know. I don't want to know the answer to that. Now you just planted that seed to our listeners. So if you end up dead, I know where to start looking.
We have a good home security system.
Excellent. Good for you. I'm very glad to hear that because I was worried I just killed you.
It wouldn't be the first time somebody's put me in the line of fire, I suppose. Hey, when are we going golfing, by the way, speaking of Kankakee?
Soon. Softball is finally over after tonight's tryout and then tomorrow's tryout. She should be done for a while, which means I have got my nights back. So we will find a time very, very soon, I promise.
Cool.
All right.
Now that we're done with that.
big news on Sunday. Blackhawks, I'm going to go ahead and say legend, Nicholas Hjalmarsson has called it a career. And it's really funny that this is one of those guys, very much like we talked about with Duncan Keith, when the Hawks were in their primes, he was one of those guys that you rarely had to even talk about because he was so reliable, right? Like you just knew if Nicholas Hjalmarsson was out there, good things were going to happen. And I saw a bunch of the statistical people on Twitter, Evolving Hockey and JFresh Hockey and Dom Lishishin and all those people talking about Nicholas Hjalmarsson's impact on the game. And one of them called him the best defensive defenseman of the analytics era. Another called him one of the best defenders of the last 15 years. Nicholas Hjalmarsson, after calling it a career on Sunday, is finally starting to get his due around hockey circles. And that reminded me of something today, James. Remember years ago, right after, it might have been after 09, like when the Hawks had to make that decision between Antti Niemi and Nicholas Hjalmarsson, and they made the right one, Scotty Bowman compared Nicholas Hjalmarsson to who? Do you remember this comparison?
Didn't he compare him to, was it, it wasn't Nick Lidstrom, was it?
It was Nick Lidstrom.
Ah.
Yes, it was. Which is, at the time, we're like, okay, well, Swedish and defenseman. Right? But you got people talking about Hjalmarsson as one of the best defenders in the recent history of the NHL. That's incredible. That is incredible. And just to be in that conversation, to not laugh at that comparison of Hjalmarsson and Nicholas Lidstrom tells you all you need to know, because I thought that Nick Lidstrom was the best defenseman I saw in my life. Like, in my lifetime watching a guy play, probably, you know, up until Duncan Keith, he was the best I've ever seen. And I would still probably give a slight nod to Duncan Keith, but in terms of just defending, to have Nicholas Hjalmarsson in that conversation is just incredible.
I know you mentioned the analytics that were showing that Nick Lidstrom, obviously, or Nick, you got me doing it out there. Show Nick Hjalmarsson as being the best defensive defenseman of the analytics era. I like this stat a little bit better. It's from Austin Padu. He tweeted, Nick Hjalmarsson blocked 1,605 shots in his career. That's the equivalent of getting hit with a puck every single day for over four straight years.
Wow. That's incredible.
Just the most indestructible freaking dude that has ever existed. And it's just, you know what it is in Chicago. Everybody loves grit. They love toughness. They love passion, sandpaper,
fire and passion,
all that stuff. Nick Hjalmarsson embodied all of that and didn't even have to grow a flipping mustache. Like, that to me is like the height of badassery. And watching him block shots for all those years with the Blackhawks, all I could think of is my leg would have spaghettified if it got hit the way that yours just did. Like, you are not human. Apparently there's something in the water in Sweden, man, because he really showed so much guts during his time. And then on top of that, a lot of guys have guts, right? A lot of guys are tough, you know. He had so much skill. He was always so smart when he was on the ice. He was always in good defensive positioning, even when his speed kind of started to fade a little bit toward the end of his tenure with the Blackhawks. I thought that his intelligence really was paying dividends in those years, and he took all these great angles. They just have not been the same since they traded him. And I know that obviously he would have kind of gone downhill a little bit in the last couple of years if the Blackhawks had held on to him. But at the same time, man, they just have never been able to develop another guy like that. He is truly one of a kind. And I look forward to the day they figure out a way to honor him. I'm guessing what they'll probably do is have Johnny Oduya fire a puck at him. I think that would probably be the best way to do that.
A ceremonial final shot block.
Instead of one final, instead of one more shift, it's one more shot block.
Right. Yeah, that sounds fun. And Nick would be like, hell yeah, let's do it. By the way, I want to be clear. When I'm talking about comparing Nicholas Hjalmarsson and Nick Lidstrom, I'm talking about defense only. Nicholas Lidstrom was almost 1,150 point scorer. So that guy was awesome on both ends of the ice. But defending, Nicholas Hjalmarsson and Lidstrom are in the conversation together, like it or not. By the way, this is a good opportunity to, even though we love Nicholas Hjalmarsson and praise Nicholas Hjalmarsson, rightfully so, one of my favorite Hawks of the Cup era, the Hawks won that trade. They really did. Like, Connor Murphy has been pretty much on par or better than Nicholas Hjalmarsson since that deal got made. And look, Hjalmarsson was banged up a lot. There were a lot of things that, played a role in that. But Connor Murphy has been really, really solid. Talked about block shots, James. Since the trade, Nicholas Hjalmarsson blocked 419 shots in 196 games. That's 2.1 per game. Connor Murphy had 453 shot blocks in 236 games. That's 1.9 per game. So that's very much on par. You know, it's minimal. It's just, you know, fractions apart from each other. And when you yeah. look at the other stats too, Connor Murphy has a big leg up in most categories on Hjalmarsson. Look, I'm not saying Connor Murphy is a better or was a better player than Nicholas Hjalmarsson, but from the time that trade was made until now, the Hawks won that deal. They got younger, they got cheaper, and they got better. So I know it's hard to embrace guys when they were traded for someone you love, but Connor Murphy's been really, really good. And I hope the Hawks fans realize that and realize how important Connor Murphy is mm-hmm. to the Hawks. And remember, he's not playing for very much money at all. He's an unrestricted free agent after next season. Connor Murphy right now making $3.85 million. That is a damn bargain. He's 28 years old. His big contract will be coming next. And who knows what the Hawks will pay him. I know he loves it here. He's very happy here. It's going to cost him at least $5.5 million to keep him. So something to keep an eye on. Maybe that's an extension Stan Bowman tries to get done sooner instead of later.
Yeah, that's very possible, especially with Kirby Dach hitting his first contract after this season. And then Dominik Kubalík also going to be a restricted free agent at the end of the year. So probably would behoove Bowman to try to get a deal done with Murphy sooner rather than later if he wanted to do that. And then if Murphy's not willing to go for the offer the Blackhawks are giving him, maybe that's a guy that you trade away instead of Calvin DeHaan. I honestly don't want to see that happen. Obviously, I think Murphy is more valuable to the team than DeHaan is, but at the same time, you just kind of have to make sure you're kind of keeping an eye on the salary cap with Seth Jones's contract extension kicking in next year and all those other deals that they're gonna have to make. Speaking of Seth Jones, I do yes. have to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing number 4, man.
Number 4.
But
I was surprised by that.
To you, the Blackhawks are not planning to retire the number of a Nick Hjalmarsson. Does that surprise you?
No. I did not have him pegged for number retirement.
I have to agree with you, even though I think that he obviously was a very important part of those championship teams. I think that what's going to end up having to happen, I think, is the Blackhawks are going to have to set up some type of like a ring of honor mm-hmm. or something to honor these guys like your Nick Hjalmarssons and your Patrick Sharps and probably your Corey Crawfords, and then save the actually, I would retire Corey Crawford's number. That's
me too.
Just me.
Yep.
And then figure out a way to kind of honor those other guys who were key members. I think you do it for everybody who was on all three of the Stanley Cup teams. The ones that you aren't retiring their numbers, obviously, and then maybe extend it out a little bit to a guy like a Johnny Oduya or something like that if you really feel compelled to do it. There just has to be a way to honor those teams, and I think that having a ring of honor for a guy like a Nick Hjalmarsson would be a really fitting tribute.
I think you retire Taves, Kane, Keith, Seabrook, Crawford, because you can also double up with Seabrook and Chelios. And then
do you think they do Hossa?
No. Because he's not homegrown. So I would do Ring of Honor would be Hossa, Hjalmarsson, Sharp for me.
That makes sense. I can go with that.
Brandon Bolig.
You know what? If you're to put him in there, Dave Boland has to be in there.
He might. He might be. That's a guy I would consider because that the rat. I love Dave Boland. That's my guy.
Who wrote the foreword to your book again?
That was Dave Boland. I never mentioned my book. I should mention my book. Go buy my book. If you live near Orland Park, there's a bunch of signed copies on the shelf. I signed a couple this week, so go grab them. They're upstairs. Go up the escalator, take a left, and it's right there with all the sports books. A bunch of signed copies of my book, The Big 50, The Men in Moments That Made the Chicago Blackhawks. So
there was a big table at the Barnes & Noble in Bourbonnais that had your book on it, by the way.
I should go down and sign some.
If you end up coming down here to play golf at Shamrock, just go to Barnes & Noble and start signing books, man. That's what I would do if I were you.
That sounds awesome. I would love to do that. I like doing that. It's just like, if I go back and they're not gone, I'm going to feel sad. Like, it's a confirmation that no one's buying my book, which I don't need. I don't need that sort of misery in my life.
I'll have to go and buy all the copies then and give them out to friends and loved ones.
Or just keep the receipt. You could just keep the receipt. That would be fine too. All right, one more thing I want to mention before we wrap up. But first, got to tell you about our buddy Kent Simpson of the Simpson Law Group. You heard me last podcast say, I don't know if he's ready to talk. I think he's ready to talk. So when we get some more information on this Hawks BS, the Brad Aldridge crap, that we are not going to let go. We promise you we're not going to let this thing go. Kent will jump on. But after over a decade of prosecuting homicide cases as an assistant Cook County State's attorney, Kent opened his own firm over 20 years ago, specializing in all forms of personal injury cases, including injuries as a result of accidents involving cars, trucks, motorcycles, bicycles, boats, planes, buses, zeppelins, mopeds, Vespa scooters, roller skates, and skateboards, construction accidents, nursing home abuse, medical negligence, and birth injury, slip and fall cases, and injuries as a result of hazardous drugs or products. His firm's results speak for themselves, with millions recovered for their clients. Simpson Law Group charges you no fees unless they win for you. Call for a free consultation, 312-332-2107, or visit SimpsonLawGroup.com. Don't go off sides. Go top shelf. Call now. That's Simpson, like Sin Bin, S-I-N-S-O-N, lawgroup.com. Cool thing happened at the draft this weekend. We mentioned it, because we're cool like that, on our post-first round slash post-Seth Jones episode that we posted on Friday night. We mentioned, hey, keep an eye on Colton Dock, brother of Kirby Dock, for the Blackhawks second round pick. Sure enough, they drafted him. Colton Dock of the Saskatoon Blades is now property of the Chicago Blackhawks, and I'm sure everyone has seen it by now, but if you haven't, really cool. Colton Dock is on the Zoom call with reporters, and Kirby comes up behind him, grabs him, and just says, "Go Hawks, baby!" It was pretty cool. So the last two seasons with Saskatoon, 2019-20, Colton Dock had 29 points in 62 games in 1920, and last year, 11 goals and 9 assists in 20 games. He really skyrocketed up the draft boards. Shortened season in the Western Hockey League last year, but Colton Dock really put on a show. 6'4", 196. He is a big boy like his brother, so not sure of the timeline with Colton, but he will be part of the Blackhawks, or at least the Ice Hogs, in the near future here. So that's a cool thing. I like when brothers are signed when they're actually good. You know, like when it actually makes sense to do. I'm down for that, because why not? And he was slotted correctly. They took him where he was sort of projected to go. So when they do that, I'm all for it. Not so sure about taking a third round projected player as your first round pick, but I digress. We've been through that before.
Yep. Are the Broadhursts still playing? Can we bring them back?
Oh, my God. Alec and...
Terry.
Terry, yes. Good call. Nice job. Good pull by you. Oh, man. I would never have gotten the other one. Never. It's Alec. And I was wrong. It's Alex Broadhurst. It's Alex Broadhurst, not Alec.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Alex. Well, shows how good my hearing is.
I did. He is now playing. Let's see if he's still playing. God, I went on a bad website. My computer's screwed. Never mind.
All I mean, you need Jonathan to know is Tate's brother plays for Colorado.
No, that's not his brother.
Did you see that dumbass joke I made the other day that the Blackhawks should have drafted? What's the goaltender's name? The last name was Gaudreau, and I said they should draft him and then trade for Johnny Gaudreau because Stan will think they're brothers. God, I see that joke. I'm the worst.
Nah, I liked it. I got a chuckle out of it. I very much enjoyed your joke. All right. I think that's all we got for tonight. We're going to have a lot more. This week is not over. You know we're going to have an episode on Wednesday after free agency.
When they trade for Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, God. Can you imagine? And if the Hawks do something, keep an eye. Jake McCabe. That's the name I've been told. I want to sound smart when they do it. So remember I said that. Jake McCabe, Jake McCabe, Jake McCabe. That's one of the guys the Hawks are going after, so keep an eye on that one. All right, with that, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, if you missed our Seth Jones episode that was published on Friday, it still holds up. Give it a listen. Check out my Substack, jzawoski.substack.com. Follow us on Twitter at MadhousePod, Instagram, Madhouse_pod. Check out our Facebook page, and of course, visit our T Public shop. The link is in our bio. We got lots of cool Madhouse podcast and hockey themed stuff for you in there. And if you got a design idea, hit us up, madhousepod@gmail.com, and we will crank it out. Thanks to Mark Allen Fishman of Unshaven Comics for his help with all the designs on our T Public shop. We will talk to you very soon on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast was brought to you by Fry the Coop, Triple Threat Sports, and by the Since In-Law Group.